So our scripture reading for this morning is coming from the book of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. A very familiar story to those that have been in the church for a while, to Bible readers. It says this: a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors over the years. She had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Sound familiar? She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. I want to preach from the subject this morning. What's your problem? What's your problem? What's your problem? And as I raise that question this morning, it's not because I'm raising it to a person that may be irrational or acting unreasonable. We do that, though, when people are unreasonable. We ask them, well, what's your problem? What's your issue? But that's not how I'm asking the question this morning. I'm asking from the place of concern. What's your problem? What's your struggle? What are you dealing with? What are you grappling with today? Because here's the reality. One thing I know that all of us deal with problems. That at any given moment in our lives, we're surrounded by people that are dealing with problems. That's why I believe it's so important to be kind to everyone, because you never know what a person is going through. People may show up in the house today and listen, they may have a smile on the outside, but they're worried on the inside because they're dealing with a problem. People may come in the house today and they have a frown on their faces, and we look at them and we are, well, why are you frowning? Why do you look like you've been sucking on a sour? But you don't know what a person is dealing with in their life, that we all live with the problem, reality of problems. I don't care how young you are, how not so young you are, how mature you are. The reality is we all deal with problems. Some problems are small, some are big, and some problems may even be unique. There's a story of this certain private school, y'all, in Texas. And there was a unique problem in that school, that the 13-year-old girls, that they were just trying out their lipstick. They were doing their lipstick thing. And they go to the bathroom and they put on their lipstick. But that was not really the problem. That after the girls put on their lipstick, they would press their lips against the mirror in the bathroom. And so you can only guess, dozens and dozens of lip prints on the mirrors. And so there's a bigger problem. That the maintenance man, the custodian, he has a problem with the issue, because every night he has to go in there and clean those mirrors. And so the principal of the school, she calls all of these girls into the bathroom, along with the custodian. She said, I want y'all to know how much of a problem this is for this custodian. So he has to do this every night. Clean y'all lipstick off of the mirror. And so I want him to demonstrate to y'all how difficult it is for him to remove that lipstick. And so the custodian takes this long-handled squeegee. He dunks it in the toilet. He begins to clean the mirror. Y'all get the picture. That was a unique problem. But that problem ended quick, fast, and in a hurry. I say that jokingly to say that some problems are unique and some problems are easy to solve. But how many know this morning that some problems aren't so easy to solve? That you get a doctor's report and the report is bad and it's not easy to solve the problem. That you've been searching for a long time to find a job and you've been putting in your time, yet you've been doing the resumes and all of that. You've got the skill set, and sometimes people tell you overqualified it, but there's a problem. You need the finances. That some of you deal with the problem of dealing with your children and the issues that they deal with. And sometimes the problem is weighty and it's heavy. Some of you deal with the problem of past issues, past trauma, past molestation, rape, whatever it was. And you've tried and you've tried and you've tried. You've tried to get over the problem, but it's not easy to get over some problems. And the problem with some trouble is that there's nothing you can do about it. Something, no matter how hard you try, sometimes you feel like you're between a rock and a hard place, that you simply don't know what to do. But I submit to you this morning, and that's a good place to be, especially when you look up to God and you reach out in faith to Jesus, because he's all powerful and he knows exactly what to do. And on top of our problems and our trouble, it causes us weight and pain that's too heavy for us to bear. And so I want to suggest something to us this morning. It's simply this: we can experience relief from our problem or problems when we reach out in faith to Jesus. And I kind of want to qualify the statement that I'm making. We can experience relief not simply from, but in our problems when we reach out in faith to Jesus. That faith touches the heart of God. But I want to give us a side note here. Faith touches the heart of God, but that does not necessarily guarantee that the issue that you're dealing with or the problem that you have will go away immediately. Beloved, don't get it. It doesn't necessarily mean that. Nor does it mean that God will respond to your issue or your problem in the way you want him to. That sometimes it does not happen that way. But what I want you to get from this sermon, from this teaching, and from this lesson is this: that I believe there's power in simply reaching out to Jesus in faith. That's what he wants more than anything from us. Listen, all of the stories we see in the Bible about all these miracles that Jesus performs, have you ever thought to ask yourself, why does Jesus perform all these miracles? Is it just to perform a miracle? Does Jesus have a big head and an ego and he, wow, look what Jesus can do? Is it just for that reason alone? Or does it point to something bigger? That Jesus wants us to know that when we reach out in faith, that he is with us. There's a bigger picture in the miracle story, y'all. That everything points to the fact that Jesus was and is the Son of God with all authority. That the winds had to obey him. Miracle. That the demons had to go out. Miracle. That in the story we're looking at today with this woman, with a miracle. But it all points to the fact that Jesus was and is the Son of the living God with all authority and with all power. And so I want y'all to get that today, because if you don't get what you've been praying about, if he doesn't heal on time the way you want him to heal, do it your way you want him to do it, he's still God all by himself. He's still Jesus. And he's still worthy of our praise. Can I get some help in the house today? I don't know what you're going through, but whatever, you can still praise God. That wasn't in my notes, y'all. I think about Paul and the thorn he had in the flesh. He talks about that in 2 Corinthians. And he said he prayed to God 3 times to remove it. And come on, Bible readers, what did he say? What did God say to him? My grace is sufficient. In his weakness, in our weakness, His strength is perfected. Sometimes God won't do it the way you want him to do it, but he's still God. The good thing is that we reach out to him in faith, trusting and believing that he can do what he says he can do. And so some of us, we're familiar with this story in the text today. That Jesus is in the process of fixing one problem. And so we can go backwards a few verses and we see this Jairus, this leader of the synagogue. And his daughter is sick. She's at the point of death. And so he comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, listen, I need you to go to the house with me because my daughter is sick and she's about to die. And I know you can just put your hand on her and she'll be made whole. That's faith, y'all. But in the middle of this struggle and this problem that Jairus is having, there's another problem. And that takes us to our text for today, that there's this unnamed woman. And she's in the crowd, that we don't have her name. I love biblical texts where there's no name that's mentioned, because what can we do? Sometimes we insert our name. That maybe our issue or our problem, our struggle is not the same, but we have problems too. And listen, if you're here today and maybe you don't have a problem today, listen, you still need to insert your name, because you will. That we all deal with problems. This unnamed woman who's in the crowd, and she's at the point, y'all, of exasperation. She's tired. She's sick and tired of being sick and tired. She's irritated. She's frustrated in the whole nine yards. Because the text lets us know that she had a flow of blood, a uterine issue. That her menstrual cycle, that it continued for some 12 long years. She had the issue, we say, of blood. Isn't it interesting that we don't get her name, but we know she has an issue? You may be sitting beside somebody right now. You don't know their name, but they could potentially have an issue. We don't know. But here she is, y'all. She's at rock bottom. She's going to doctor after doctor. She spent all the money that she had, and she's the worst for it. Anybody for real, though, you prayed your best prayer. You got up off your knees and your situation was worse. here she is the worst. She's the worst for it. She's at rock bottom. But I want somebody to know today that rock bottom is a great starting place to be when it comes to radical belief. That sometimes God wants to get us to the place of rock bottom. We can't look to the left or to the right. No one else can help us. And then we look up. We look up with the hand of faith and we reach out to Jesus for help. And so she heard about Jesus. Isn't that what the text says? People need to hear about Jesus. And people don't just hear about Jesus because, you know, there's a Bible on the shelf at the house. Some people don't read the Bible. And sometimes the greatest Bible they're going to read is you and me. That people need to hear about Jesus. What are you telling people about Jesus? She heard about Jesus. And so here's this one more healer. She's seen many doctors and she's gone through all of this stuff, but here's one more healer. What is it about Jesus that's so special that she believes that he will be the one that will make the difference in her life and bring forth a healing? So the text really doesn't let us know. But somehow she believed. She had faith and she trusted. She had determination, y'all. 12 years of this flow of blood, socially unacceptable because of her condition. It was not appropriate for her to be around other people, to come in contact with other people. Jewish law. That she was unclean. And further, she has this crowd around her. She wants to get to Jesus, but there is a crowd. What stands in your way of getting to Jesus? Is it your fears? Is it your sin? Is a problem in your head that somehow Jesus will not accept you if you come to him because it's just been too bad? That the stuff that you've done, listen, now he ain't going to forget. So you won't go to Jesus. What stands in your way of getting? This woman was determined, regardless of any limitations that she had, regardless of her condition, that she wanted to get to Jesus by any means necessary. This woman had determination. And I believe we ought to have determination too. She had a strong mind and a will to get to Jesus. I believe we live in a society in the world right now where there are enough weak-minded people when it comes to faith. Hear what I'm saying to you. Because how many people really believe that Jesus is still in the healing business today? That he's still in the delivering business right now and today in 2024. Do you really have faith in Jesus? Do you really have faith in God? This woman had determination, but she also had conviction, y'all, that she believed without seeing. She believed first. That she didn't see the manifestation of a healing yet. She simply believed that this Jesus could actually do it. Many people have to see. They're from the Show Me State, Missouri. They have to see before they believe. But she believed and then she saw. That's what faith is all about. It's simply believing and trusting that God can do what he says he can do. Even when I don't understand, even if when I don't know when, I know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or even think. And the story is really about her faith in Jesus and bringing forth her healing. And so what it results in the alleviation of her pain and her suffering, that she was healed. That Jesus realized, y'all, that power had left his body. And the story bears it out. And he's asking the question, who touched me? And the disciples ask, all these folk around you, Jesus? We're in this crowd and you're wondering who touched you? Really? But the touch that she had was a touch of faith. We can come to church and we can bump into a praise. We can bump into scripture. We can bump into a word, but nothing changes in our lives because faith has not been applied. How many people today are bumping into Jesus? They're next to Jesus, but they're not getting what they need because they're not applying their faith in believing that God will do what God says he will do. And Jesus says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Your suffering is over. Your suffering is over. Those are sweet words, y'all. No sweeter words than we'd love to hear. That in our problems, in our pain, that Jesus speaks to our hearts and says, your suffering is now over. And so I just want to leave us, y'all, with just a few lessons that we can gain from this text. And I'd imagine this text has been preached probably more than about any other text in the Bible, in the New Testament scriptures, than any other text. And there are a lot of valuable lessons that we can get from this text. But I want us to know that we can experience relief from and in our problems when we reach out in faith to Jesus. And this is what that woman did. So what lessons can we learn in the text? First one I believe is that faith requires risk. Hear what I said? Faith requires risk. This woman had to overcome her fear and shame and reach out in faith. She took a risk. It's Pastor Chuck Swindoll that said this at one time. Some people live so carefully, they absolutely refuse to take risks. Everything has to be carefully regulated, kept under control. It has to be kept under their control. That their borders have to be defined. The guidelines have to be spelled out. Every dime has to be accounted for. No surprises. And after expending so much time and effort trying to play it safe, that they end up accomplishing much of nothing in life. Faith is about taking a risk. I think about Abraham. Abraham took a risk, y'all. Faithful Abraham. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, and it says this. By faith, Abraham obeyed God. Y'all, listen to this. Abraham left his home to another land that was promised to him. But you know what the text says? He did not know where he was going. So y'all have to understand the text now. So he packs up the U-Haul. Gets his wife and his children together. Put everything in box. Puts it in the U-Haul truck. And he says, family, listen. God told me to tell y'all that we got to get up out of here. We got to leave our cousins them, all our people them, all our friends them. And God said, go. Well, daddy, husband, where did God say we going? I don't know. He just said, go. So let's pack it up in the U and let's go. Now, let me modernize it. Now say, so that was Abraham. In 2024, I dare to say, ladies, if your husband told you, God said, it's time to pack up, and God said, we're getting ready to get up out of here and go somewhere, that it's going to be a discussion and probably not a good discussion. Because you're going to want to know when, where, how, well, how we going to eat, who going to have a job, what. But faith says, listen, God, when you speak, I will obey. I may not understand you, but God, I'm willing to step out on faith. I'm willing to take a risk, and I'm willing to go. Think about it. You came in this morning. We took a risk, didn't we? We sat on our seat. Now, some of y'all say, well, I sat in the same seat last week. And God bless those who have already marked their own seats, and that's their seat. And maybe some folk got an attitude already this morning because somebody was in your seat this morning. But you sat on that seat, didn't you, without thinking, will this seat hold me up? Well, you took a risk. But your faith and your confidence says, listen, it held me up last week. It's going to hold me up this week. How about this? The same God that held you up on last week. The same God who upholds the world and the universe with his power is the same God that will uphold you each and every day. That's faith. It's confidence. It's trust that God will do what he said. He will uphold you and me. Faith requires risk. Not only that, faith is possible in any situation. Again, this woman suffers for a whole lot of years, 12 years. She folks tried to give her remedy. Nothing worked. A lot was going against her, but she did not give up hope that God is greater, y'all, than any circumstance you are going through. God is greater than your heartache. God is greater than your pain. God is greater than what you're going through right now. And listen to me, somebody. I know you're going through something. There's the opportunity. You're going through it. But while you're going through it, no matter how bad it is, know this, that you can still have hope. I think about David in Psalm 34. In Psalm 34, David is testifying and he's singing and writing about when he was running from Saul, King Saul. As he runs from King Saul, he runs up on the Philistines. Now, y'all know, if y'all Bible readers, y'all know the Philistines. That's, you know, David fought Goliath. Guess where Goliath was from? He was a Philistine. And David runs up in there. Y'all can go over to 1 Samuel chapters 21 and 22 that he runs up in there, y'all, and he's before this king, the king of Gath, and folks say, that's David over there. That's the one that, you know, he's been killing folk and stuff. He's a great warrior. Now he's running from Saul. So he ain't really got nothing to fight with. And so what does David do? That he pretends to be insane. The David begins to slob coming down his mouth and looking all like a wild man and like he's crazy. And the king is going, man, this can't be the one y'all talking about. This is a wild and crazy man. But David pretended to be insane. But David was not crazy. You would think in this, in that portion of the text that David's goose was cooked. But David had faith in God. How do you know? Look what he says in Psalm 34, 1 through 4. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall be here thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And here's what I love what David said. In that moment, as he pretended to be insane, hoping he would live and not die under the hand of this king, he says, in that moment, I saw the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me out of all of my trouble. That's what I want to say to somebody. See God today, and God will deliver you how he wants to, when he wants to deliver you. God will deliver you. Faith is possible, y'all, in any situation, no matter how bad it is. No matter how bad it looks or it feels, listen, you can still have faith. You can still hope in the Lord. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Another translation, those that hope in the Lord. Those that have utter trust in God and what he can do and will do. Listen, we can rest in him. Faith is possible in any situation. I remember, y'all, when we We're trying to get into this building, make our move. Come on, Living Faith folk. And then COVID came up. And it was like, okay, God, what are we going to do? That the cost of building went crazy. It went through the roof. It tripled and quadrupled. And it was one thing when you got champagne taste and Code 45 money. All the pastors talking about drinking, oh Lord. Bring your mind back. Bring your mind back. But the cost went up and y'all, it wasn't looking real good. But we gathered together as a family and we continued to have faith in God and what He was able to do. The rules and how to build, when we went through the building process, they got crazy. Obsolescence. I counted. She know, Brother Sport. Obsolescence. That's a word I will never forget. Basically, I ain't going to explain the whole word to you, y'all, but obsolescence to them, and y'all ain't going to build nothing. It got that bad. It's like, y'all ain't building nothing. It ain't about how much money you got, obsolescence. And so ask somebody, ask Sister LaTanya, ask what they meant by that. But y'all, it looked bleak. But God. But God. But God. That we maintain our hope and our faith in a bad situation. Let me say it again. Faith is possible in any situation, no matter how bad it is. Hold on to your faith. This third thing, that faith gets God's attention. Think about this. Out of all the people that were touching Jesus, that she gets His attention. That's good. Who touched my robe? It's funny to me when God asks questions. All right. And I'm impotent God. He asks questions. We're doing a series right there when God asks questions. And oftentimes when God asks questions, it's not because He doesn't know that He's trying to get our attention and trying to bring something to our awareness. That this touch of faith is later commended by Jesus in the text. But I think about Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, without faith, come on, Bible readers, it is impossible to please God. So that means it takes faith to please God. Faith gets God's attention. How many things do we do, y'all, to try to get God's attention and to please Him? Well, as long as I'm obeying this rule and that rule, I know I'm pleasing God. Yeah, we ought to obey the Word of God. But faith pleases God. How many people do we try to please under the guise that if I please this person, then I must be pleasing God too? That God didn't call you to be a people pleaser. That we're to please God. And what does Hebrews say? What pleases God? Faith pleases God. Why does faith please God so much? Put it in human terms for a minute. Those of you that had small children or have small children, how does it make you feel when your children come to you and they have a need or they scrape a knee or they're hurting and they come to you believing that you are the one that can alleviate their pain, that you are the one that can meet their need? I feel pretty good about that. I don't know about y'all. And they come asking you. And sometimes they have to ask you 10 times before you hear it. But they ask, knowing that mommy or daddy is the one that can supply my need, that they can give me what I need. My peanut butter sandwich, peanut butter and jelly sandwich, my chocolate chip cookies or to fix my wounded knee. How much more does it please God, who created us and loves us with an everlasting love? How much more does it please Him when we say, Daddy, Father, I stretch my hands to You. Know the help I know, God. I have a need, and I know You are the one that can meet my need. Faith gets God's attention. I'm almost done, y'all. Almost time for the Lord's Supper. What other lesson can we learn in this text? Is that faith is rewarded by God. We see this freed but frightened woman. Jesus has already asked a question. Now, who touched me? Listen, she came through the crowd. She touched the fringes of His garment. She felt that she was whole from that moment. He felt the power go out of her. Who touched me? I don't know if I was that woman, if I'd have fessed up. I'm like, I'm whole. I feel good. But she's frightened. She's humble. And she tells Jesus what had happened. That she believes that it was the touch of Jesus that made her whole. That her faith was rewarded by what she believed about Jesus. And she reaches out, she touches him by faith. And he says to her, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." I love that phrase. "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." So here's where a lot of us get stuck. I already mentioned before. "Lord, I really believe you for this, but God, it ain't came to pass yet. God, my loved one, my mother, she was sick with cancer in her body, and God, I'm believing you for a miracle. I know you're going to bring her out, God, but mother's gone. God, I asked specifically for this prayer request, oh God, and I did it in faith. I believe you, God. I was sincere, but it didn't come to pass." And we get stuck. And we wonder, what had happened? What is it, me? Is there something wrong with my faith? And beloved, I need you to know this, not necessarily, because I need you to hear me clearly. That we respond to God in faith. We reach out in faith, but listen, He is God. He is supreme, and He answers our prayers according to His divine will. That will never change. But here's the great news, and the greater news is that we had enough sense to reach out to God and to reach out to Jesus in faith, and that pleases Him, and we spend time with Him. So if I don't get the thing He asked me for, if it doesn't come forth, then we can have delivering ministry and healing ministry, but everything operates according to the divine will of God. And so don't get it twisted. Don't get stuck there. And I say that because I believe some people do. And some people walk away from God because we ask God to fix the relationship, fix the marriage, to fix my body, to fix the situation. And He doesn't do it in our time and in our way. And we get upset with God and we want to walk away from God. The bigger news in the text today is, yeah, the healing is good. That Jesus heals by faith. But the bigger news for us is it brings us into a relationship with God that we're willing to reach out to Him and to touch the fringes of His garment, to touch Him by faith. Faith is rewarded by God. That God is a rewarder to those who diligently, I'm almost done, who diligently seek Him. There's a story, y'all, of this woman who was rushing home from a doctor's appointment. She went to the doctor's appointment and took the doctor a little bit too long to get there. Imagine that. You go to a doctor and your appointment is at one time and they're an hour late. Imagine that. And besides that, then the doctor's in the house. I'm sorry. I'm just saying what I'm saying. So anybody listen, I'm saying what I'm saying. And so doctor's late, and finally she gets her lab reports. Lab reports are late. She has to go home and get the kids. She has to make dinner and all of this stuff. And so she has to run by Walmart. And so she runs by Walmart, and the rains begin to descend. The heavens open. Rains descended, y'all. And so it's just pouring down. And this woman was not like in the habit, y'all, of talking to God about trivial things or small things. But she prayed in that moment. She said, "Lord, if you would, it's been a hard day. If you would, Lord, if you would allow a parking space to come up. Everything is crowded. I can't find a place, Lord. If you open up a parking space where I can be right in front of the Walmart, so I can get out and I can go in and get my stuff and get on back out and get to the children, get to home and all of that." So no sooner, y'all, than she began to pray that prayer, a slot opened up right in front of the Walmart, right next to one of them handicap slots. And she was right near the front doors of the Walmart. She could go right in. And she's pulling into the slot. She says, "Lord, never mind. Some already opened up." Some of y'all get that when you get home. When we pray to God in faith and God answers our prayer, do we think it's just some coincidence? That something just happened? When you pray to God and God answers your prayer, do you even notice that He answered the prayer?
Come on, come on.
poof, do you even think about the fact that he answered your prayer? That faith is rewarded by God. He does answer prayer according to his will. Faith gets God's attention and leads to God's reward in making you well. I love this word in the text, well, well. The Greek word here for well is to be made whole, and that's the way some of us know it. The word whole in the Greek has a strong connection to the word save. The normal New Testament word for save is for saving from sin. So it strongly suggests that not only was this woman physically whole, but she was spiritually made whole as well. That he gave her the peace not as this world gives her. That he alleviated her suffering because of her faith and her trust in Jesus Christ. And though your problem, in your problem, you may not receive immediate relief, but you receive this connection to Jesus. That in the storms of life, that he's with you. That when you feel weighted down and you put your trust and your confidence in, he will relieve you of that weight that you feel. Maybe the problem's not gone, but the problem solver is with you in the problem, and he is with you, and he promised he would never leave you, nor would he forsake you. However and whenever God decides to alleviate our problem, it's just good. And I'm about done to do what Paul said in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart. His peace will keep you in the midst of the storm and the problems that you're dealing with. In short, what am I saying to y'all? In short, we just have to learn how to leave it. Leave it with God. Just leave it with him. When you have car troubles, you don't know how to fix a car. You take it to the mechanic and you leave it with the mechanic. You go back to the house. You get you something to eat. You watch television. You wait for them to call you to tell you what the super bill is going to be for fixing your car. Listen, when you have some tax issues, Sister Accountant, and you don't know how to do the taxes, if it's not the easy form, that's as far as I can go. So what do? You call an accountant to come, a tax preparer that can help you with those taxes. That's what they specialize in, doing taxes. And you don't want to go to jail, and so you get you a tax preparer to help you because they specialize in taxes. When the air conditioner is gone out in the house and everybody's sitting up there sweating, you don't sit up there, but let me see if I can go up here and tinker with it and see if I can fix the air conditioner. No, you pick up the phone. You call the repair person because they specialize in fixing the air conditioning. Yeah. If something electrical goes out in your, unless you are an electrician, what do? You call the electrician. Why? Because they specialize in electrical stuff. I came to tell y'all today, when life presents you with problems, we have one who specializes in everything. And his name is Jesus. I dare you to call on him. I dare you to call on his name, that he specializes in everything. God can handle your problem. God can fix your problem. How do you know? The people at the Red Sea, they had a problem. They had mountains on both sides. They had the Red Sea in front of them, but God specializes in them. He opened up the Red Sea for them. That God specializes in fixing our problem. How do you know? Talk about Daniel in the lion's den, in the den of lions. Listen, they were going to have him for lunch, but God shut up their mouths. They did not swallow him or eat him. God specializes in fixing your problem. Think about the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. Now listen, they looked in the fire. There was a fourth man in the fire. That was Jesus himself, God himself. God specializes in fixing your problem. What fire are you in right now? What lion's den do you feel like you're in right now? What's your problem? What's your issue? What are you grappling with? What are you struggling with? I just want to let you know this morning, listen, we serve a God who specializes in fixing our problems. And the greater news is that God is with you and me in the problem. So if the problem doesn't resolve how you want it to, when you want it to, the fact that you reached out to Jesus in faith, sometimes there has to be enough within itself. And that's what salvation is all about. Amen. As the music is playing softly back here. Because we all have this one problem. And the problem is called sin. No matter how good we think we are not good enough. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son to die for you and for me. Reverend Mike, I get excited about it too. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he did for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. That all of us have to deal with the sin problem. But that's the one problem that Jesus came to give us relief from. And Isaiah said it best, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It's by stripes. Those of us that have an issue, that we were healed. Amen.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.